It's disintegrating because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Thursday morning out there. How you doing today? Trump kept me up late last night. Get the bags under my eyes. Got my battle gear on today. I want to thank you for joining us. I don't know about you. I say this all the time. What a joy it is to come in here and join with all you folks on every morning. And I don't know what this platform is. That's what a platform that we're standing on here. I'm still trying to figure this out. This thing's become a lot of things, but I know this. And I'm most proud of this of anything. I think you'd have to admit that over the last however long you've been watching, 5 days a week, you're in the Bible, you're in the Scripture. We divide the word. Have a tendency. I've been thinking about this. I was pondering this morning when I got up this morning, we've been spending a lot of time in the political realm, and I think it's all important because you can't separate politics from religion. I just can't, no matter how much they try to tell us that that's what we have to do, and separation between the church and the state. See, our lives are lived out in this culture. Our lives lived out in the world. And so we as Christians, we're going to have to try to make the decision, what is our role in this thing we call life? What is our role? What is our spiritual conversion all about? And how does our spiritual conversion comply or compare or blend with our religious conversion? Because again, you cannot separate the two. And I really think that's the struggle that we have in America. They've done a great job of the greatest lie ever told, perpetrated on America in my lifetime. But boy, that's saying a lot. And let me think that again, Lord. I don't want to say the wrong thing. One of the greatest lies perpetrated is the demonic lie from hell about the separation between the church and the state. And over the gradual separation of the church and the state, it's been nothing more than the killing of Jesus and the removing of Jesus in the name of God, in the name of Jesus Christ from everything. And ask yourself, when was the last time you heard a politician, one nation under God, which God? It's the last time you heard a politician stand in the pulpit, I'm sorry, stand anywhere and mention that name, that J word. You don't hear much. And all that's come about is the result of the same thing. It's the separation between the church and the state, to tell us. They tell us the other lie, that two things you don't want to discuss is religion and politics. I must be an odd bird. That's the two things I want to discuss most, religion and politics. But not religion, a relationship with Christ, the ability to be conformed and transformed to a new creature. Once I'm conformed and transformed into a new creature, what am I supposed to do with it? Am I supposed to totally keep myself from evil and from being unstained on the world? Am I supposed to go come down here in my basement and build myself a prayer closet and hide out there 24 hours a day and come out and eat a meal every other day? And what is this thing? What does it mean to die to self? These are all questions that are really, really deep questions that we have to begin to really, really dive into. No matter how many times I try to say it, this ain't Trump Central. Donald Trump is a man. He's a man who's in a position of power and authority that impacts all of our lives. And we're in such desperate times in America that we need to understand ourselves this. How does my faith play a role in the world? To me, that's the dilemma. In fact, I would say this. I bet most Christians have never even asked themselves that. How does your faith play a role in this world? And why is it that Christians don't get involved in political spots. Why? I'm going to get away from where I am. Don't mean to be. What's your duty after your personal conversion? Maybe that's the theme here at our show. What's your duty? What's your duty? When you get saved, when you get drafted onto the Lord's team, what's your duty? What's your job? What are you supposed to do? What does it look like? That's what I want this show to be about. I don't want it to be about politics. I don't care, but politics matter. We had a great discussion after the show yesterday in the queue. For those of you who don't know, a lot of people, when the show's over, people that are in the queue, a lot of times they just stay and we talk sometimes for an hour. And I'm not going to dive into it today, but we had a discussion about Israel and the Jews. And are the Jews Israel? And what should be the church's position on Israel? And do we idolize Israel? And I could feel the tension. Feel it. There's so many things that we are so... It's like I said yesterday about Mark Taylor and Rick Wiles, not making fun of either one. Mark Taylor says, Donald Trump is the best thing that ever happened to us. And Rick Wiles said he's a tool of the devil. How do we know? What's our focus supposed to be? I'm about personal conversion and how that applies to your life. We have to be careful, including me, especially me, to get unbalanced in our walk, unbalanced in the things that are pleasing to the Lord, mercy ministries, and prophetic ministries. As you know, I come down on the prophetic side. Others come down on the mercy side. Others like to serve people. That's certainly a characteristic of a Christian. I like to serve people. I like to serve people. It makes me feel good. That's not the only reason, but it does. When I go help somebody, I feel good afterwards. And the prophetic side of it, for most people, doesn't feel very good. But I'm finding that my bent, me I'm talking about now, is I feel really, really fulfilled when I do the prophetic thing. Maybe it's my bend. Maybe it's my call. It doesn't make... See, we run this risk that we all have to have groupthink. You all have to think like me. And in defense of myself, as if I ever have to make a defense, you can go back and play the tapes. I never tell you have to think like me. I throw things out there. I have some very firm things I believe and some very firm things I'm not sure about. Me. Why? Because I'm walking out my own salvation with fear and trembling. And I hate to tell you this. I don't hate to tell you this. I've found a lot of things in that they've told us about our faith that isn't in the Bible. It is not true. I found a lot of things in our government that they've told us that just is not true. And so as I walk out my faith, I'm trying to make this balancing act between being Christ-like in everything that I do. What does that even mean? What does it mean to be Christ-like? Well, you serve the God you see. I did a teaching on that. Maybe I got one of those videos. You serve the God you see. You will be like the God you follow. You will be like him. And it matters what God you see. And I believe that we've been given an unbalanced view of our Savior. I believe that. And that most of us tend to squirrel in or burrow into an area where, can I say this? We burrow in where ultimately we feel comfortable. Jesus kicked those disciples out of their comfort zones. Kicked them out of them. And I think that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to do it to me. I get nervous when I'm feeling comfortable. My mind goes 24 hours a day, except when I sleep. I think it's still gone, but and we get caught up in the world and the things. And see, we cannot ignore the things of the world, but we cannot be dominated and controlled by the things of the world. There has to be a balance. I want to be conformed to his image. I'm in Romans 8 today. Can you pull that up there, Jared? While you're pulling that up there, anybody got a thought on what I just spent 10 minutes talking about there? Kind of stream of consciousness, confession. Well, anybody got anything to say about that?
Well, you know, you asked the question of what is our role once we become Christians? Mm-hmm. I think Jesus kind of helped us see what our role was in his prayer to his Father in John chapter 17. In verse 15, he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And he even reinforces that in the way he teaches us to pray, teaching us to pray daily, lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil.
See, Larry, that's good. I think there's a real tendency, I'm just hearing from the Holy Spirit, I think, that Christianity teaches us how to behave. Churches teach us how to behave, but not what to do. And I think it's a great failing of the church. Now that I've become a Christian, I know how I'm supposed to behave, but what am I supposed to do? When you come to church, somebody else is doing it for you. So therefore your faith becomes a spectator sport. What am I supposed to do? I'll never forget the first time when I was I hadn't been shaved very long, and I was in church, and somebody at the church made a challenge that people would go, first experience I'd ever had of it, that people would go with them to protest the Lion's Den, which is a porn shop. They're all across America. We have them here in Ohio. I don't know if you have them everywhere. The Lion's Den. Some man in the church was going to go protest the Lion's Den. Can I tell you something? I don't know what it was that came up inside of me. I was a baby Christian. And it was, what? I want to stay in here. I feel good in here. Go protest porn shop. And I think our leadership fights that same issue in that they don't know really how to show people what to do. They know how to teach them how to act, but not what to do. I'm in Romans 8. I don't know why the Lord gave me this morning. I'm just going to be obedient to open it up here and give it a read. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I could go no further than that right there. Do we even know what that means? That we walk not after the flesh? I wonder how many churchgoers you come in contact with daily that have no idea what it means to walk in the Spirit. To walk not after the flesh. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So if you are in Christ Jesus, you don't walk after the flesh anymore, do you? But after the Spirit. Why? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What would that law be? The law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Okay, time out a minute, class. What is the law of sin and death? Does anybody know what that law is? Because it's right there, and we've read it many times, and the average person that reads this doesn't even understand what that means. The law of the Spirit of life. There's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's a law. It's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from another law, which is what? The law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death?
the commandments. There's those plus the others. There's a total of 613 commandments per se. Okay. But, and they still apply. Okay.
But
having the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus frees us from that law of sin and death.
It's
but it just doesn't apply to us.
Okay. Okay. So there's a couple things that are at work here. And let me make this, Joe, I just understood what you're saying there. It just hit me, believe it or not. Listen, folks, here's the law of sin and death. The soul that sins, it shall die. That's the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, what? Jesus Christ paid the price. You now no longer are bound by the law of sin and death. He brought a superseding law over that law of sin and death. Understand that? And we are now, even though we are bound to follow the commandments, the laws, as Joseph said, 617 laws, we are no longer justified by the law. We are justified by the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the duty to follow the law. You don't follow the law out of duty. You follow the law out of love, out of the Spirit of life. Understand the difference? For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. See, the law couldn't make you behave. It still can't do. They say today you can't legislate morality. Christians ought to learn something from that. The Bible doesn't legislate morality either. It's the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes you free, that sets you free from the law of sin and death. For the law is weak. We could pass laws against drunk driving and people drink and drive. We could pass laws against abortion and people still kill babies. We could pass a law against not having alcohol sold on Sunday and people will still break it. We can pass a law about keeping the Sabbath holy and people will still break it. Why? Because the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed you from the condemnation of the law.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Romans 8 ties into Romans 6. It's unique saying that because of the weakness. Romans 6:19 says, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity, to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, now present your members as slaves unto righteousness, resulting in sanctification.
For what the law could not do, it's a good word, Dale. I'm just pondering it. And that it was weak. See, the law wasn't any good because it required carnal obedience. Again, Christians doing the right thing was the law. That was the law. Christians being the right thing. That's the law of Christ, the life, the Spirit of life in Christ. Christians being righteous, doing the right thing, being righteous, not doing the right thing. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's back to Romans 1. Are we walking after the flesh or are we walking after the Spirit? 90% of us walk after the flesh, probably more than that. You know why? Because we've been taught what to do, not who we are. Our new identity in Christ. For they that are the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I heard that Holy Spirit twice. The Holy Spirit said to me. How long are you going to continue to stockpile worldly stuff? How much money is enough? For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So how does that work? I got some peace yesterday. See, let me give this as an example. Sky High has come into my life, and it's become, if I let it, becomes a burden. And it becomes, forces me to be carnally minded. In what way? Well, carnally minded in this. What, you know. Thank you, Randy, by the way, offered a skid steer to us yesterday. God bless you, Randy. Carnally, how am I going to do this? Where am I going to get the money to do this? Where am I going to do this? Well, all this, all these carnally minded things. And folks, carnally minded things bring death. They bring death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Meaning what? So when I lay my head on my pillow at night, I don't allow myself to be burdened by that. All that up there that has to be done, but by Lord, you brought it into my life. God bless you that you have a plan. Let me walk in your plan. That's spiritually minded, not carnally minded. Carnal mindedness will kill you. That's what it says. It's death. Because the carnal mind fights against God. Well, it's not subject to the law of God. Neither can be. Isn't that something? The carnal mind, the unregenerated mind, cannot be subject to the law of God. Why? Because it's an enmity. It's in the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Wow, this is so thick, deep. But you're not in the flesh. You're in the spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he ain't got any of this. And if Christ is in you, then your body's dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. I'm crucified with Christ, yet I live. So my life now is not to be lived carnally, but spiritually. Lord, what is it you want me to do with that place that will advance your kingdom? Not all the carnal things that come with it. Therefore, brothers, we're debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. If you live after flesh, you shall die. And your bank account's gone with you. And your campers and your cars and your fishing poles and your guns. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you're going to be more alive than you could ever imagine. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, wow, they are the sons of God. Who is? Those who are led by the Spirit of God. Do you think the average church helps people learn to be led by the Spirit of God? And help me this or not. Most of the prayers that you sit down and pray in most Christianities, ask yourself this. Are your prayers focused on you and yours and your stuff when you pray? I'm still fasting, by the way. I hope some of you are still with me. Because fasting, like I said yesterday, it's like a wire brush, man. Sharpens your spirit. Watch this. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Time out. What are you afraid of? It's bondage. Fear is bondage. Do you ever feel good when you're afraid? And how do you stop being afraid? You turn on the light and see there's nobody under the bed. How do you conquer fear in the world? You go do what you are afraid of. Because you've received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Daddy, Abba, Father. And the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if you're a child of God, think about your own children. Would you ever lead your children into trouble that you could not extricate them from? Would you ever do that? Would your heavenly Father lead you into trouble that he can't get you out of? You say, Coach, if I go down there and if I start standing up for those babies, I might get thrown in jail. Yeah, you might. And then you can share the gospel in the jail while you're in there.
You have a captive audience.
You have a captive audience. And if you were children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with. See, you can't be a joint heir with him if you don't suffer with him. Isn't that what it says? If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon, my friends, that the suffering of this present time aren't worthy to be compared to what we're going to get as a result of it. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth. Wow. It must be the fast. This is really hitting me deep. For the earnest expectation of the creature, the human, waiteth for the manifestation of God? No. They waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. The creature, the created world, is waiting for God's kids to show up. The creature is made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. But we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, I'm groaning too. The whole creation is groaning, travailing in pain right now. The whole world's groaning. Can't you see the world groaning, travailing? But it's not them, it's us too, it says. For we have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to witness the redemption of our bodies, to be out of this earth suit. For we're saved by hope. But hope, something that you can see, is not hope. What a man sees, why do you hope for it? If you have a brand new car, you don't hope for a brand new car anymore. You got it. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities or our weaknesses, for we don't even know what we should pray for. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Boy, that gets into the whole speaking in tongues thing. Ooh, that'll be a division in the church. And he that searcheth the heart, by the way, who searches the heart? Who does that? But he that searches the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know what happened yesterday? I have to stop and tell you this. I was up at Sky High looking at everything that needs to be done and not having the equipment to do it. Getting carnal, getting in the flesh. Well, Lord, where's it going to come from? What am I going to do? I don't know. Talking about a piece of equipment. Need a tractor. Need a skid steer. Stuff all costs money. Lord, amen. Lord. Like he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. If he gave us a building, he's going to give us the equipment, right? That's the piece. We just read about that, right? And I was right in the middle of a conversation about a piece of equipment. And what happens? My phone rings. At the exact moment I'm sitting there, my phone rings. It was Randy Lansford. This is about faith. Okay. I'm in the flesh. I'm carnal minded. I'm looking at all the work that has to be done with this thing that the Lord has brought into my life. How will you do this? And how will you do that? And I'm actually having a conversation at that moment about a piece of equipment that I don't have. And the phone rings. I'm in with the guys having a discussion and the phone rings. And I pick it up and I walk out of the meeting room and it's Randy Lunsford. And he says, Coach, I have a skid steer for you. It's like the Holy Spirit dialed Randy. And Randy picked up the phone. And he said, Coach, I got a skid steer coming your way. Get it up there within the next week. I'm sorry, it's the Holy Spirit. All right, it's the Holy Spirit. See, we will never get any of this stuff done that we're trying to do if we're not Spirit-led. If we're not walking in the Spirit, none of what you want to get done is going to happen. Oh, you'll get it done, but you may make a mess along the way. And if God, we've already read it. If God, see, the provision is for the vision. When you cast the vision, we talked about faith. You don't hope for something if you have it already. I don't hope for a skid steer if I have it. But Lord, you need to provide this. Lord, I got this property for you to glorify you. Lord, I need a skid steer. I didn't say that. But the Lord saw, hey, he needs a skid steer. And Randy says, I got a skid steer sitting in my house I never use. I'm going to send it to you. The Holy Spirit just told me to send it to you. To be carnally minded is death. What does that mean? To think I can do it on my own is death.
Hey, Dave.
Yes, sir.
I think in tying into this teaching, how God moved on that issue, we have to be prepared. Our Christian faith should stabilize us when the phone does not ring. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think so often there's little depth in our faith that we're like in a wave of in a ship. See, sometimes the phone will ring and sometimes it will not, but he is still.
That's right, Roger. He gave me that. He gave us that for his purpose. And it's his job to provide.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
I think the biggest thing with everything that you're saying, it all falls down to how much do we really love the Lord.
And trust him. And know him.
Amen.
I think we love the Lord, but I don't think we even know him.
Our love for the Lord is demonstrated by our trust in him.
Yeah, that's right. It's like my little grandson was down here the other day, and we were doing something that he was kind of kind of hesitant to do, which is rare. He's pretty bold. He's pretty bold. And I said, come on, Dave, come on. Grampy will never let you fall.
Good coach.
He knew I wouldn't. He knew I would never let him fall. Do we think God's going to let us fall? Do we think that the Lord is going to bring into my life this magnificent piece of property and then watch me go broke? What kind of daddy would do that? Now, don't get me wrong. The enemy would love to see me go broke. By the way, we're not going broke. The enemy would love to see me go broke. But my daddy's not going to let me fall. Why? Because little David said, the Lord will open doors and you will walk through them. That's faith. Yeah, Vic. Can't hear you, Vic, if you're trying to say something. Thought you were coming in. It's all right. Sorry about the... I'm not sorry. I could go on and on and on in Romans 8. It's powerful. Jared, let's go to 35. Just go to Romans 8, 35. Folks, I had a whole show planned. It wasn't this. Oh, wow. So who shall separate us from the love of God? By the way, it doesn't say what shall separate us. It says who. See, the things that come into your life that separate you from the love of Christ come in the form of people or spirits. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation? See, tribulation isn't a who. That's not a who. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, ain't none of that stuff going to be able to separate us from the love of Christ. For as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Folks, we are dead men walking. We are nothing. We are here to fulfill his purpose, not our purpose. We are to fulfill his purpose. He didn't die to fulfill us. Nope, it says, in all these things. What things? In what things? Jared, go back up. In all these things, what things? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, in all of them, in tribulation, not outside tribulation, in it, in distress, in persecution, in famine, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, there they are again, nor powers, there they are again, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Man, oh man. That's powerful. Come on in here. I'll shift gears here in a minute. Boys and girls, that was the Holy Spirit.
Hey, Coach, I got to chime in a little bit. You know, the scripture says we can move mountains, but we don't believe it. And when we do believe it, we can move those mountains.
Amen. Kevin, not only can we move them, he wants them moved. I've had stress, okay, over Sky High, just because it's not my gift. Thank God Mark Trump's come along and relieved some of the pressure on me. The Lord, I sit up on top of that place and I look out over that and I think, God, you're so magnificent. Look at this place. Lord, God, why is it a burden?
Hey, Coach.
It's not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a burden. My carnal nature makes it one. See, hey, you want your faith to be stretched. Step out of your comfort zone. Take on a project you are not gifted to do. I'm totally dependent on other people. I can't pound a nail into a board. I can't not straight. And I've got this thing that needs a lot of nails. And I'm totally dependent on others. But see, there's my problem. I'm not dependent on others. Hey, Randy, coach needs a skid steer. Hey, coach, you need a skid steer? Yeah, I'm sending you one. It's God's project.
Praise God.
And you're doing God's work. If God's accountable for it, he's the one responsible to it. He brought it into my life to glorify him. He's responsible for it. Coach, are you a good steward? Will you take care of it? Will you cut those branches down? Will you do? Folks, I'm not trying to make it about sky high, but I'm just telling you, in my own life, this has been a stressful month for me because it's out of my bailiwick.
Hey, Coach.
Is it Dale?
No, this is Larry.
Okay, Larry.
You know, the last verse of Romans 8, it says, who shall separate us? All these things shall not be able to separate us from the love of God. And then right. It says where that love of God is. It is those which is in Christ Jesus. The love of God is not in the world. The love of God is in Christ Jesus.
That's why he told us not to love not the world nor the things of the world. And can I tell you, a lot of you watching right now, including Coach Dave, we love the things of the world. Look at your house and the meaningless crap you have assumed, you have assimilated. And when you die, your kids are going to come in and they're going to throw out a lot of that crap that you're hanging on to. A lot of it. And, just be careful. I got bugs in here. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to shift gears here. Anybody else want to throw in here?
Yeah, Coach. This is Glenn. You know, I understand, you know, you feel the responsibility of this property now that you have it. And right. But you know, you have a great bunch of guys around you. Okay. No. Mark yep. Trump and all the rest of the guys, amen. You know, they're not going to let you down. Well, you need to be encouraged.
Glenn, I know that. I know that. But even more importantly, Glenn, here's what I'm learning. My trust is in him.
Amen.
See, the Holy Spirit called Randy. I didn't. The Holy Spirit saw what was going on.
Well, that ought to be an encouragement in itself.
Yeah, saw that I was distressed in this project. And he tapped on Randy's chest. And Randy said, man, that skid steer just sits there every day. I bet Coach can use that. You got to get this. I was in a meeting talking about equipment. And the phone rang.
It's called Spirit Cellular.
Yeah, whatever. Praise the Lord. It strengthened my faith. That strengthened my faith so much. Folks, I want to tell you something. This will trip some of you up, I think. Maybe it won't. I don't care. Prayer is not an activity. Prayer is a line of communication. It's what it is. It's a line of communication. And, you know, the Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing. You say, how do you do that? How do you do that? That's why monks go shut themselves up in closets, to pray without ceasing.
Prayer is a way of life, Coach.
What's that?
Prayer is a way of life.
Prayer is communication. Prayer, my friends, is walking in the Spirit. That is prayer. Lord, should I do this or Lord, should I do that? Father, should I do this or should I do that? Constant communication, not constant bombardment and intercession for things and stuff and people. Yes, we need to have times where we intercede and pray specifically for things. But folks, we just read there, Paul just told us, if you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to get tripped up by these fleshly things. It's not going to happen to you. And how do you walk in the Spirit? You have to have your Spirit attuned to the Holy Spirit, that you hear and you communicate and you talk and you respond. He's in you. to do his good pleasure. It's like I get this picture. I think the world of my little grandson. And one of my great, sounds like, I feel like I'm on a therapist chair this morning. One of my greatest disappointments in life is that I didn't, as a young Christian, I didn't know how. I didn't build more faith into my own prodigy. I didn't know how. And all of a sudden, you take him to school and take him to church and Sunday school, and they go in Sunday school and they do their thing while you're in there doing your thing. And then all of a sudden you wake up and they're 18. You say, what the heck happened? What the heck happened? Where did I lose him? And being a grandpa is a chance to do it again. To do it all over again. To be able to build into the light. There is nothing that I wouldn't do for my grandkids. Do I love my grandkids more than God loves me? Well, what a stupid thing. What a stupid thought. That I would be a better grandfather than Almighty God. I would be a better father than him. That he will never lead us into anything that he's not with us. That no matter where it is, wherever you trip and fall, he's going to be there and catch you. That whatever provision you need, he's going to be there to provide it. Not to feed your fleshly needs and your fleshly desires. That's a wrong Jesus. That's a wrong Jesus. You don't do that to your own children. If we did, every time David comes down here in the morning, I say, you want a grampy pill? It's a piece of candy. Little piece of candy. Yeah, I want a grampy pill, and I give my grandkids a grampy pill. I don't let them sit down there and eat all the candy they want to. Sometimes you say no. Sometimes God says no. No. We always want God to say yes, don't we? It's carnal. It's carnal.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
I want to finish the story, the rest of the story. Yesterday, Coach, yesterday I got through and got on the road, started home. And about a week ago, I already knew I was going to send that skid steer to you, and I was just trying to make some arrangements with a trucking guy knowing a trucking company. And he said, well, yeah, I can get it up there. Just let me figure it out. And I said, all right, well, as soon as you can. Well, yesterday, Coach, and I called you. I knew it was going to be pretty soon. Well, as soon as we got off the phone, this guy called me and he said, hey, I've got to go up to Ohio to pick up a piece of, piece of steel that a guy wants down here in Tulsa. And he said, man, I can do this thing really cheap now. He said, I said, well, put it on the list. So, Coach, I waited on the Holy Spirit, and now, see, the whole plan came together because I waited, and I was obedient and just didn't try to do it in the flesh,
Amen.
But I listened, I heard, and then we did it. It was, that's what faith is, Coach. It's not blind. If we will listen, we will hear the voice of the Spirit, and we'll know this is what God wants to do. Amen. And then we do it, and it's faith, Coach. That's the difference. It's this when the spirit does it or the soul does it. That's the difference. That's the difference.
I gotta say this real quick, Randy. You have no idea the meeting I was in when that phone rang. The absolute, unbelievably, perfectly timed will of God was at that moment.
That's the witness.
Randy, I think you bring up something very important. You said you listened, okay? Now, I am grateful, Dave, that skid steer is on its way. But I'm telling you, if we gloss over and don't help the people who the phone does not ring, we do a great disservice. Because I deal with people all the time who are waiting for the phone to ring. And there's a reason it doesn't ring sometimes. And I think some of that is, Randy, what you just said. You listened. You didn't go do it yourself. You listened, and then God spoke to you. So often, people do it themselves instead of listening to what God wants them to do.
Hey, let me build upon that, Roger. Randy, when you knew in your spirit that the skid steer was to go for coach's use up there and everything, you didn't just stand on faith and wait for it to happen. You acted on your faith. You contacted somebody that would might be able to help you get that skid steer up there. Because you see, in Hebrews, it defines faith as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is something that you can see and touch. Your actions of reaching out and making contact about a possible way to get it up there was acting Amen. On your belief. That's what faith is acting on belief.
Amen, Larry.
Amen. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Randy, it was perfect timing because you know why? From the time, the moment the Lord laid that on your heart to send that skid steer up here, he had a time when you needed to let me know that. And he knew in the fullness of time that there was going to be a time when I was going to be discouraged. If you'd have called a week ago, I'd have been happy, Randy. But it wouldn't have impacted me like it did yesterday. The perfect timing of your obedience.
Amen. Amen.
To wait, to do it at the right time, so built my faith.
Amen.
Right? You guys understand that? You understand it?
God's working on both ends, Coach. He's working on both ends.
That's right. The Lord said, wait, Randy. Here it is, Randy. Coach needs that. But wait, Randy, wait. Because he knew there was something coming down the road for me that was going to, I was going to need that phone call. And he said, okay, Randy, 911 time, call him. Right? That's amazing.
That's how it works. But Coach, we have to be people of the spirit. We have to be not secular minded, but spiritually minded, or it'll go right by us. And those things like that will go right by us and we'll never see it. We'll never experience it. We'll never walk in it. That's Isn't the that difference, perfect? Coach,
Amen,
when we're spiritually
Amen.
Minded.
Amen.
See, that's another thing. Because see, sometimes we put God in a box. And we say, we want this miracle, this thing to happen exactly like this, and it better have a green bow on it. If it doesn't have a green bow, we don't recognize it.
That's right.
It's not the way you want it. It's the way God delivers it to you. You have to be Amen. Ready and have your eyes open to receive the gift.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Isn't that the Romans chapter 8, Coach? As adopted children, there's a cry out to the Father. The parents don't just automatically give because the children act. There's a moment, there is a cry that the father hears. Brother, let me tell you what, there's a cry. Brother, if my child is just crying because he wants Amen. Something, it's one thing. But Amen. When my child is hurting and grieving and needing, there's a different type of cry. And in the fullness of time, earth was groaning. And in the fullness of time, God then sent his son into the world. Then God contacted Randy. Mm. Then in your cry, brother, in your Abba Father cry, in that fullness.
Amen. And you know what it was, Dale? Folks, listen, this is important. I wasn't crying out. I wasn't. But I gotta tell you, inside I was groaning. I was groaning. Didn't we just read that the Spirit will groan. It'll groan. And I didn't cry out to God, God, have Randy send me a skid steer. God, have somebody. No. My spirit was groaning. Lord, I don't know what I need. Help. I'm groaning here. With groanings that cannot be uttered. And my dad, just like my heavenly father, just like I would with my grandson, said, you know what? He's working good. He needs help. I'm going to send it to him. to me, that's the fruit of obedience. It's the fruit of obedience. And you know what I struggle with as much as anything? I don't mind asking for help. I hate to ask for money. I hate to. God's good to us. We have great supporters. God, Mark Trump was trying to encourage me yesterday. Say, Coach, tell him you need a tractor. Tell him you need one. Tell him you need $10,000 or $15,000 for a tractor. You got to tell him. I think, oh man, now I feel like the pastor standing in the pulpit begging for money. But see, folks, this is either the Lord's vision or it's not. And so I have to say, listen, this thing's here. It's God's vision. He's brought it into my life. I know it's in my life. I can't do this. Help! That's what we're supposed to be about. But see, again, we tend to be carnally minded. Carnally minded. We say, well, what's he going to do with all that money? How do I know where all that money's going? What, right? So, praise the Lord. Help's coming from places we don't even expect it to be coming from. I wrote a great commentary today. I was going to share it with you. I'll share it tomorrow. I'll read it tomorrow. It's called Let's Legalize. It's time to legalize Jesus.
Amen.
I'll read that tomorrow. But before we buzz off here real quickly, we didn't even get to tell the story of Polly and the T-shirt lady who wouldn't print our T-shirts. T-shirt guy wouldn't print our T-shirts. And how the Lord moves in situations and Victor's opportunity to be down there with Donald Trump yesterday in El Paso, Texas, and some of the vile things that Victor said or saw, not said, and the war that's raging around us. I was going to talk today, if you look over here on what I have up on my screen, I was going to talk about spiritual warfare and we wrestle not against flesh and blood and what that means. But we have to understand that we have to be very, very careful that we become so heavenly conscious that we're no earthly good. We're no earthly good. Now, Randy Lunsford was heavenly conscious yesterday, and he did some earthly good. He was heavenly conscious. He was plugged into the Lord. He said, I got this thing sitting here. I don't even hardly use it. I'm going to get that thing to coach. That's where it's supposed to happen, see, to advance the kingdom of God. And I'm sorry if all the doubters and the naysayers would say, well, you know, Coach is building a cult and building his own kingdom and blah, 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 blah. Listen, come and be part of it. Come and take ownership in it. This belongs to the Lord. This is ours. This is ours. It's not mine. But I've been tasked with the job of doing something with, thank God for Mark Trump. He's come and rescued me. And thank God for plumbers and for chainsaws and tree limb Jim. My God shall supply all of you according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Somebody help me wrap it up here.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, you said a couple of things there. People are groaning. Yeah. And you said, I feel like a therapist. And I just, they come to me. It's your spiritual therapist. I had a guy I was on the phone with yesterday. I've dealt with this tool guy.
Well, we lost you, Jeff.
For 7 or 8 years, I've been talking to this guy from California. His name is Rick, the tool guy. And for 7 or 8 years, we've always ended after we talk about tools, spiritual stuff. And he's just livid with stuff that's going on. He'd been groaning. So yesterday I talked to him about tools and he said, hey, I got to tell you this. I want to thank you, brother, for turning me on to Coach Dave's show. He said, I'm listening out here in California. He said, man, it is such a blessing. He's excited. But there's a guy in California that's listening. You're helping him out. And it's through Randy and all the other guys on there. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's a team for sure. Hey, listen, got to run. How about this? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God bless you, Randy, for the encouragement of my heart. We'll see you tomorrow.